next on the Essential Bible Highlights podcast.
If being thankful in everything was such an easy thing to do, Paul would not have had to remind the church and us to do so. The tendency of our hearts is to become disheartened when our circumstances are not favorable. I'm Jerry Casey, the host of the Essential Bible Highlights podcast, and welcome to this Thanksgiving edition of the podcast. Probably one of the most neglected essentials of our Christian walk is that of being thankful. Have you ever asked someone what they are thankful for and they respond with, "I can't think of anything"? It's one thing for a non-believer of Jesus to say that, but it's a totally different thing for the believer to say that. As believers, we have so much to be thankful for. We have a God who loves us despite our sin and disobedience. He loves us because of who He is and not because of what we do. He is the one who is always there and ready to hear from us. And if that isn't enough, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians reminds the church that they were not destined for God's wrath, but for salvation. And so we too have the hope of salvation. So it's not that we don't have anything to be thankful for. In this episode of Essential Bible Highlights, we will look at why we must be thankful regardless of our circumstances. So grab your highlighter and let's highlight 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Paul was writing 1 Thessalonians in light of the Lord's soon return, on what the proper conduct for the church was to be. The church was doing well, and Paul wanted it to stay that way. He didn't want his ministry to them to be all for nothing if they should give up on what they had already been taught. Paul knew how easily doubt could creep into a believer's life when things aren't going quite as planned, especially for new believers, as this was the case here. Some in the church were confused about the Lord's return, as they had believed He would return before any of them would have died. But this was not the case, and the believers needed to be encouraged about what would happen to those who had already passed on when the Lord did eventually return. They also needed to be encouraged about the future and how they should conduct themselves. Paul mentioned several things in chapters 4 and 5 regarding their walk as they continued to look forward to the Lord's return. And really, those things were just a reminder because Paul had already taught them those things, and they were living accordingly to those teachings, but they were new believers and still needed to mature in their faith. I'm only going to look at the three things that are stated in verses 16 through 18 of chapter 5. In verses 16, he writes, "Rejoice always." Now we want to highlight that, "Rejoice always." Verse 16, the complete verse. What does it mean to rejoice always? It means to be glad at all times, letting the joy of the Holy Spirit flow from you, even when you are having a bad day. The psalmist in Psalm 92, verse 4, knew what it was to rejoice. He writes, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." I believe Paul is saying to rejoice always was in light of verse 9 and 10 in chapter 5. In those verses he writes, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him." After rejoicing, Paul says in verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Again, we want to highlight that phrase, "pray without ceasing." What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Praying is communicating with God. In praying, we speak and we listen. We are aware of the person we are talking to. We don't have to be talking constantly to be praying, but we are also listening. And maybe that may be the point of praying without ceasing. We need to be listening more. So to pray without ceasing is a continuous awareness of God's presence and His prompting. Sometimes we are talking, but most of the time we are listening to God. And then Paul writes in verse 18, "In everything, give thanks." Let's highlight that one too. If being thankful in everything was such an easy thing to do, Paul would not have had to remind the church and us to do so. The tendency of our hearts is to become disheartened when our circumstances are not favorable. But nonetheless, we are called to give thanks in everything. And that means the good and the bad. In this passage, Paul does not say, "Give thanks for everything." He says, "Give thanks in everything." We thank God as we are going through trials and discouragement. We thank God as we go through the many blessings of life. We never stop being thankful, despite our circumstances. Although in hindsight, we will no doubt give God thanks for the trials in life as we see God working out His purpose in us. Romans 8:28 is one of those scriptures that is often misused, but I think it applies here. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." If we have the right mindset when we are going through trials, we can give thanks for those trials as we go through them. Now the second part of verse 18. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Here we find a command. We need to highlight that because here it is a command. Same command following Paul's list of things found in chapter 4, as he says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification is the position that believers hold as they are set aside or set apart for God's use and glory. Sanctification is also the process of the Holy Spirit making us into the image and likeness of Christ. Romans 8:29 tells us we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is our set apart or set aside purpose. And that is why we must be thankful. It is a command and also a part of our sanctification process. It is also an indication that we are being more like Jesus. Being obedient in thanksgiving also keeps us from the pitfalls of an ungrateful heart. If you want to see the worst of an ungrateful heart, just look at Paul's writing in Romans 1. He says, "Those who don't honor and give thanks to God, they begin to worship the creation rather than the Creator. They begin to fall in all sorts of sin," which in reality has pride at its roots, which in itself is idolatry or worship of self. If we are not thankful, it is probably because we have been focusing on the world and the things of the world. We are focusing on what we don't have rather than what we have in Christ and all the other blessings received through Him. So how can we rejoice and pray with an attitude of thanksgiving at all times, despite our circumstances? Well, we can focus on the right things. Paul gives a good list of things to think on in Philippians 4:8. He writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." An ungrateful heart always focuses on circumstances. A grateful heart is thankful as it focuses on everything that Jesus has done and will continue to do in a person's life. A grateful heart longs for heaven, but a grateful heart also knows it has a purpose here on earth as it has been set aside for God's use. Rejoicing is the fruit of joy. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in us and through us. Joy demonstrated through rejoicing leads to a grateful heart, and a grateful heart leads to thanksgiving. And we can voice that thanksgiving each time we are in prayer and when we encourage other believers in their walk with the Lord. The truth is, there are going to be times when we are beaten down by our circumstances and we just don't feel like being joyful or thankful, let alone pray. But nonetheless, we do it anyway, because it is God's will that we are rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks at all times. We have to make up our minds that we will rejoice, pray, and give thanks no matter what we may be going through. When will we be perfect at doing those things? Let me finish up here with verse 23 in chapter 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. It is only by the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we will truly give God the thanks he deserves in all circumstances. And that is the highlight in 1 Thessalonians for this Thanksgiving. And speaking of highlights, I hope you will join me in December as I start the series Highlights in John on the Essential Bible Highlights podcast. Until next time, may the Lord find us walking by faith as we always rejoice and give thanks in all things. Send comments and questions to essentialbiblehighlights@gmail.com.
Scripture quotations taken from the New American Standard Bible, copyright 1995 by the Lockman Foundation. Used by permission. All rights reserved. Lockman.org. Any opinions expressed on Essential Bible Highlights should not be construed as professional advice but for informational purposes only. Professional advice should be obtained for any decisions regarding personal health, mental, physical, or financial needs. All rights reserved by Essential Bible Highlights.
If you have not by faith accepted God's free gift of salvation, you can do that today by believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 why we need the hope of salvation, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23 tells us what salvation brings, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 10:9-11 tells us how we can receive salvation. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. By believing what God has said, you are repenting from doing things your own way and beginning to follow God's word, which is the Bible.